Today is Columbus Day.
Today is Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
We still teach children that he discovered America.
What did Columbus do? He discovered America?
How do you discover a place where other people are living?
Reconsider the story of Columbus.
Columbus never did even land in the United States.
The real history of Christopher Columbus is not something that our children learn in school.
What year is it?
It's a 1492!
Christopher Columbus is about to set sail to discover America.
Happy Columbus Day.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Columbus Day, Lauren and Wally Morning Show. See, 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I think that's the way that goes. Yes.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
You know, or Indigenous Peoples Day, if that's what you're saying.
Indigenous Peoples Day. Okay, well, stuff we got coming up with the program today. By the way, we should probably start the show this morning by apologizing for that forecast we gave you on Friday, because that didn't turn out to be true, did it?
No.
It was supposed to be spectacular all weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
I forgot I lied to the people.
Well, we recorded that Friday show about a week in advance.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, that's, you know.
It was the David Price of weather forecast.
Yeah.
You had hope until the first 10 minutes.
Wow, that was bad. But we're back at it down in New York tonight. Okay.
I have a good feeling.
You have a feeling?
Who's on the
good
mound tonight? Is it Chris Sale?
No.
Oh, rats.
Nathan Eovaldi.
I don't feel as good as I did 2 seconds ago.
So we got that going for you. We'll talk to Bill Lee at 8:40 this morning, see what Bill's take on the whole thing. Let's see what he thinks about David Price. Yeah, let me see other things we have coming up the program today. Bad names to have.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that over the weekend?
That Twitter feed about being Brett Kavanaugh, but not the one on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
That's tricky.
I have an interesting story, because I reached out to a bunch of Brett Kavanaughs yesterday, and I heard back from one of them.
Did you really?
And it was a weird response. I'll tell you about it.
Yeah, I'm curious if anybody has, like, just a famous name that's
It's Tom Brady. There's a guy who...
Yeah, we had a guy in here who was Tom Brady. You know, there's a lot of people out there.
Okay, so... Lady Gaga, did you see
I saw Star Is Born this weekend. Actually, I saw it Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you didn't waste any time.
No, I didn't. I ran out of here and ran to the theater and sat there.
You said you felt sick and had to leave.
I did feel sick, but you know what? I actually decided to go into a dark space called a theater. I saw it, and I'll give you my review.
Review.
Like maybe a 7.25 because...
Okay, that's good.
Because I'll just give you a hint. It's awesome.
Okay. And, of course, we got the 5K Artist of the Day, the first keyword of the day, worth $1,000 coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. It all happens right here at the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Oh, yes. The excitement is beginning right now because it's time to go for the cash. This is rather interesting. We have Heather Danner on the line with us this morning. She's from Bridgewater, Massachusetts. She's going to attempt to win $1,000 from Century Bank by answering these questions. And I note on the information guide here that Heather is listed as, occupationally, a wine guide.
Hashtag dream job.
I know. Good morning. How are you doing this morning, Heather?
I'm great. How are you?
Great, thank you. Now, could you please bring me up to speed? What's a wine guide?
So I go to people's homes, and I do free in-home wine tastings with them and up to 20 of their friends, and we talk about wines and pair food with wine and just have a great time.
Wow.
That's the best job ever.
That's really good.
Do you drive them home afterward? Yeah,
they're really already home.
Yeah, exactly.
All 20 of them?
Sleepover.
Wow.
So how do you get into this kind of business anyway?
It's one of those direct sales independent type jobs, so the company's Traveling Vineyards, so if anybody's looking for some fun as a wine guide, you can just contact them and sign up and it's a great time.
That's way better than Tupperware.
No kidding.
Really. Okay. Now, Heather, here's what's going to be happening. Over the course of the next 60 seconds, LBF is going to ask you 10 questions. Your job is pretty simple, really. Your job is simply to answer those questions all correctly. And if that happens to be the case, you'll win $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. Almost enough to pay for your parking if you're going to Fenway Park tonight.
Right.
Okay. So here's the deal. Are you ready to start the game?
I'm ready.
Talk up good and loud. We want to hear all of your answers. And here we go in 3, 2, 1, go.
What do you do at a stop sign?
Stop.
If it's 6 p.m. in California, what time is it in Seattle?
6 p.m.
Which movie features the song Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead?
Wizard of Oz.
In Disney's Sleeping Beauty, what is the name of the Queen Witch?
Pass.
What sign of the zodiac is represented by the ram?
Pass.
What is the largest country the equator passes through?
Pass.
In Greek mythology, who turned all that he touched into gold?
Pass.
Which TV character said, "Live long and prosper"?
Pass.
Which U.S. state is nearest to Russia?
Alaska.
What is a gruntal?
Pass.
In Disney's Sleeping Beauty, what's the name of the Queen Witch?
Midas.
Which sign of the zodiac is represented by the ram?
Aries.
Okay,
you know, not bad, really.
Not bad.
Okay, you passed on a few, so we'll review
half
for
them
you.
Right. We got
right now,
right.
Here we go.
So in Disney Sleeping Beauty, the name of the queen is Maleficent.
So you knew that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Kind of.
What is the largest country the equator passes through? That would be Brazil. In Greek mythology, who turned all that he touched into gold? That was Midas.
Yeah.
And the character who said, "Live long and prosper," Mr. Spock. And a gruntle is a pig snout. And now you know.
There you go. So,
hey,
but
for you,
did
we
great.
Have a consolation prize. Yes, you did very well. A pair of tickets to see Teresa Caputo live, The Experience, Wednesday, October the 10th at Lowell Memorial Auditorium. Everybody else, get your tickets now to see Teresa Caputo from TLC's Long Island Medium. Now at the LowellAuditorium.com. And thank you very much for
playing. You know, for somebody who drinks all the time, well done.
Yeah. If you hadn't had a snootful this morning, you might have won.
Gruntleful.
Thanks for playing the game today, okay? Everybody else, if you think you can play this game and win, all you have to do is register to qualify. And when you do that, we call you and we set it up, and you can be playing and winning right here at WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Here's Lauren, LVF, Hank, and Brian.
And it is time for your 620 Men for Maine, everybody, so here we go.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus has finally gone high-tech and bought his first fax machine. But he's having a little problem getting it set up. So he calls tech support, and we hear...
Hello, fax machine tech support. How can I help you?
Yes, hello. My name is Ephus, and I'm calling to get Jack's telephone number.
Could you repeat that, please?
Why, sure. My name is Ephus, and I'm calling to get Jack's telephone number.
I'm sorry, sir, but I don't understand your question.
Well, it says right here in the manual on page 5, if you have a problem receiving a fax, unplug the cable and telephone Jack.
Join us again soon. Nice. Thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorna Wally Morning Show.
That lime humor.
He's like, Lou, what is that? What is? I'm like, I don't know. What is
the Lorna and Wally Show?
We know that that's the original one.
On 105.7 WROR.
So this story really caught my attention over the weekend. Because about 35 years ago, I'm out in my yard digging a hole to plant a tree. And so I run across this kind of weird-looking vein coming down through the dirt. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'll just keep digging down here because this is where I wanted to plant the tree. And then I hit something with a shovel. I wonder what this could be. So at first I thought, oh, it's just a big rock down here. And I said, well, the rock's got to come out because this is exactly where I want to plant the tree. So I start digging deeper and deeper and digging around it and making the hole a little bigger. And suddenly I realize it's not a rock. It's perfectly round. And it's like iron or something like that. And I thought, wow, this is really strange. So I dig it up, and it's a little...
cannonball.
That's what I was thinking.
Were there ever any pirates in your neighborhood?
Arr, matey! I'm just thinking, okay, it's a little smaller than a bowling ball. And it looks like rusty iron all around the outside of the thing. So I dig it up and I wash it off and set it out, let it dry. And I just thought, well, that's kind of interesting. What if it's a meteorite? Nah, it can't be a meteorite. So I just take it in the house and I use it for a doorstop. So I've had it in the house for like 35 years. So over the weekend, I'm reading about this guy in Michigan. And he bought a house in 1998, and the guy who sold him the house said that this rock that he was using as a doorstop they think is a meteorite from the 1930s.
Wow.
And so this guy's been using it as a doorstop since 1998. And he finally got really, really curious. So he went to the experts, the University of Michigan, and they did a study of the rock and said, it's a meteorite. He said, that's great. He said, is it worth anything? They said, yeah, about $100,000.
Oh my God.
So the Smithsonian Institute is already said they'd pay him $100,000 for it.
Wow.
And a private collector has also offered him some money for it. So there's going to be a bidding war on this thing.
I'll give you $25 for your doorstop.
So I'm thinking maybe I should bring the rock in, and we should take some pictures of it and try to figure out where we should go to get this thing studied.
Well, there's a place, right?
I've been looking up. When Lauren was telling us this story, I'm like, all right, how do we get this tested? So I looked it up, and there's meteorite identification places that are, you know, accredited through whatever. There's one in London. There's some in Paris.
Paris,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Vienna.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Mendon, Massachusetts.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
In the little town of Mendon?
In the little town of Mendon, the New England Meteorical.
Yeah.
Meteorical Services. Little meteorite place in Mendon.
Wow.
And they'll test it for $25.
$25. I think it's a cannonball.
You think it's a cannonball?
I do.
Okay.
You live in like a historic area.
Yeah, you
Massachusetts.
You ever see some of those stories where people find things and they drop them off at Goodwill and then they have to call in like munitions experts? Like,
right.
It's unexploded.
No, so this didn't have a fuse sticking out of it and
you bang on it with a hammer just in case.
Stenciled around the side or anything like that. So I'm pretty. But you know, it kind of looks like a cannonball, but who knows? And it's the funny thing is, over the years, it's actually gotten smaller because it kind of flaked off on the outside.
Really.
So,
I don't know. I think you should take it to the little town of Mendon and see what happens.
Run a Geiger counter over it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bring it in tomorrow, and we'll start
all right, we'll contact these people and see if we have a meteorite.
Okay. But during the Revolutionary War, they didn't stamp everything. I think you're sitting on a historical artifact.
It could be. Okay, we'll start testing it tomorrow. Okay, in the meantime, coming up next, as we get into the preparations for tonight's game down in New York, and this is a big deal. I mean, we really need, because the Yankees have now stolen one here in Boston. So
I know.
We have to steal at least one in New York. And so we'll talk about David Price. I know it's a sore subject, but we'll cover that for you coming up at 6:45 this morning. In the meantime, so tonight is a really, really big night, a very important night for the mighty Boston Red Sox, because we're going to be down at Yankee Stadium, and it's all tied with the Yankees. And so David Price pitched in Game 2 against the Yankees, and he didn't even get out of the second inning, and he pitched at Fenway Park. And everybody was saying, okay, this is going to be much better because Price is going to be pitching in Boston as opposed to Yankee Stadium, because they thought, well, he has trouble pitching in the Yankee Stadium. But he was absolutely horrible in Game 2. And so Pedro kind of chimed in the whole thing, and Pedro says he thinks it's in his head.
I know. I mean, remember the whole Pedro... Yeah. Who's your daddy thing when Pedro was on the Sox?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, because he, the Yankees kind of owned him in a game, and he said, oh, you're my daddy. And it was the who's your daddy chant was, and he overcame it because he's Pedro. He's one of the greatest pitchers ever.
Exactly.
If David Price tried 23andMe, the results would come back and go, oh, New York Yankees. That's exactly what it would say. I think about this. David Price, the winningest pitcher in baseball since 2012. He's won a Cy Young. He started 10 postseason games. He's 0-9 with a 6.03 ERA. Against the Yankees, since he came to the Red Sox, he's 2-8 with an ERA just under 8. This year alone, he gave up 9 home runs and 17.1 innings against the Yankees. He cannot get it. He's allergic to October.
Okay, so you think it's more than just, the Yankees. You think it's postseason play.
It's some sort of seasonal allergy.
Yes.
Seasonal affective disorder.
It's called,
that's right.
It's called
he's got sad.
Post-seasonal allergy.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Good. Now, what do you think? A pitching coach or a sports psychologist?
Len Zukowski, world famous sports psychologist. Fly him up from Florida.
Yeah.
Let's take a collection from the members of the nation. We can pay for the trip.
So you think it's, this guy could really help him?
Yeah,
huh?
Because Steve Sachs played for the Dodgers. He had this thing where he couldn't throw the ball from second base to first base.
Oh, I remember that,
He saw a sports psychologist. The next year, he led the league in fielding percentage. He was fine.
That's a crazy thing because now the story that Hank is talking about here, this guy, a professional, high-level professional baseball player, and all of a sudden, he couldn't throw the ball to first place.
Yeah, that happened to Chuck Knobloch, too.
Chuck Knobloch,
all of a sudden, he couldn't throw it.
And John Lester, the pitcher, He couldn't try and pick a guy. He couldn't throw
he
it to first base.
He couldn't throw to first base.
But
yeah.
he could throw 98 to home.
It happened to Nuke in Bull Durham. When Crash Davis
exactly.
helped him.
You know, you're right.
Exactly.
So that's what I...
Right.
Yeah, right?
Okay,
so
we exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, you understand, right?
I do.
Okay, so we think that we have the solution for David Price, okay? And we're glad to help this morning. And
watch Bull Durham.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
watch.
That's
if you want to know what it's all right.
He should wear garters when he's pitching.
Okay, maybe we should send this to the Red Sox.
It's just an idea.
Okay, let's ask Bill Lee about that.
Well, and we'll talk to Bill Lee at 8:40 this morning right here at WRR. Thank you very much. Now, speaking of that game and everything else baseball.
Well, luckily, we won Friday night 5-4. Oh, so, yeah. Game 3 of the ALDS tonight. New York Sox and Yankees tied at 1 apiece. Now, tonight, Nathan Eovaldi is going to get the start. That's because they had to use Rick Porcello in relief in Game 1. All right, so they'll save him for Game 4. But tonight, it's Eovaldi against the Yankees ace, Luis Severino, who won 19 games. First pitch at 7:40. Brewers beat the Rockies 6-0. They advance to the NLCS. Braves beat the Dodgers 6-5. They stay alive in the other NLDS. And the Astros can sweep the Indians this afternoon with a win in Cleveland in the other ALDS. Bruins play their home opener this afternoon, dropping the puck at 1 o'clock, hosting Ottawa at the TD Garden. Celts lost 113-102 in their final preseason game to the Cavs in Cleveland on Saturday. They open the regular season a week from tomorrow night when they host Philadelphia. Patriots back in action next Sunday night. They'll take on the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. They're 5-0. The Chiefs are unreal. Pats tied for first now in the AFC East with the 3-2 Dolphins, who lost again. They're starting to play like the Dolphins once again. They fell to Cincinnati 27-17. Monday Night Football tonight, New Orleans host Washington. That's a look at sports.
Thank you very much. Coming up next, we have a Brian Bellbuster, and today it's all about
Fortnite. Speaking of David Price.
Oh,
David
Price,
yeah.
Oh, right. Brought to you by Eagle Bank. And, yeah, I heard from Colin, and he wanted to get his mom, and his mom thinks he plays too many video games, just too much video games all the time. So I called her to let her know that he has been selected for a big video game team.
I'm really sorry, but there is no way that I am sending my son to Amsterdam. I know nothing about this. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's Wade Watts from the MLGA.
My son is 12 years old.
Definitely. We'll be having performance-based sponsorships at the end of the tournament. Could make a lot of money doing these video game tournaments.
Okay, now just a second. This is a sponsored organization. My son could make this, so this could like help pay for college eventually. Is that what you're telling me?
105.7 WROR. Lauren and Wally.
Hello.
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
All right, I heard from Colin, and he actually wants to get his mom for her birthday.
Mm, sweet.
And she thinks he plays too many video games. So we're going to call Julie and tell her that Colin has made a professional video game team.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Looking for Ninja Kill Legend 69?
One more time?
Yes, trying to reach Ninja Kill Legend 69 from Fortnite.
Oh, wait a minute. You're trying to reach Colin.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Colin. That would be Colin, yes. This is Wade Watts from the MLGA.
Can I give him a message or something? He's probably playing video games.
This is Wade Watts from the Major League Gaming Association, and I'm calling to let him know that his application for the traveling Fortnite team has been accepted.
Okay, that's good for Colin. I have no idea what that organization is. This is a video game organization?
Yes, we have our first team meetings coming up. I'm the team leader. We'll be meeting at the Androids Dungeon, and we'll be getting ready for the big Battle Royale Fortnite Con in Amsterdam. We basically just need to cover some of the travel costs.
My son has sent in an application without us knowing about it to go on a trip to Amsterdam.
Yes, based on his amazing kill-death ratio and over 500 hours played on Fortnite, he has really shown us something, and we've accepted his application to be on the team.
Well, how proud am I of that kill-death ratio? I don't even know.
Very proud, yes.
My God. Well, I really had no idea that he had sent in an application involving any sort of travel.
Well, yeah, he's ready to go. All we need to get him over to the Fortnite Con Amsterdam is the $3,500 to cover the flight and hotel. Mm-hmm. And you can pay that out in installments if you want. It's a couple months away, so we have some time.
Oh, I can I? I'm really sorry, but there is no way that I'm sending my son to Amsterdam. I know nothing about this. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's Wade Watts from the MLGA. And then we get a food stipend every day. He gets a couple of bucks for meals. There's free unlimited Wi-Fi, of course. I mean, you know. And
this is really fun and great, but I'm really sorry, but there's no way that I can allow my son to do that. My son is 12 years old.
We'll be having performance-based sponsorships at the end of the tournament. So, you know, we got Monster Energy involved. He could make a lot of money doing these video game tournaments.
Okay, now just a second. This is a sponsored organization. My son could make this, so this could, like, help pay for college eventually. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, a lot of these kids, because once you start going to these tournaments, you know, you'll get your GED, and then you don't even need college, really, you know? Once you start playing these games at this level, he's amazing.
My son will not be getting a GED. That's not going to... this is really... I'm sorry. There's no way I'm going to allow my son to do this. This is crazy.
We've never seen anyone with this, the amount of skill in just 500 hours of playing time. He's really become quite an elite player in Fortnite.
My son's had 500 hours of playing... Well, that explains a lot as far as schoolwork is concerned. I appreciate that. I'm really sorry, but I can't allow this. I'm just floored by this. It's very tempting. Money sounds good. I'm sorry, but thank you for the offer.
All right, we'll let Colin know. But that's a shame to miss out on this opportunity. But also, we wanted to say happy birthday, Julie.
Well, thank you. How do you know it's my birthday?
This is Brian Bell from the Lauren and Wally Show, and this is a Brian Bell Buster.
Oh, Tinker. Oh, my God.
Colin, let us know. You thought he played too many video games.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for that. I'm relieved. And I'm going to kill that kid.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lauren and Wally Show on WROR. You can get him back on his birthday, okay?
I expect it. We'll be doing that. Thank you so much.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, from the book, They Always Come Home, here's a Hank story this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to love this one.
All right, so by the way, my daughter's a senior in college, goes to school in Washington, D.C., and, you know, has spent a semester abroad. She hasn't really been home that much. And, you know, the last 3.5 years, I mean, she's been living away.
Yeah.
So this weekend, we had my grandson's birthday party. Harb is going to be one this coming Saturday. So this weekend, we had the party, and Charlotte flew home.
Nice.
So we have a small home. So Abby and Ryan, Harb's dad, they live in our house. Yeah. Pam and I are in our house.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like two families right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before Charlotte left for school, she said, hey, why don't we just put Harvey in my own room? He can have his own room. He doesn't have to be with them.
Yep.
Right. I'm not going to be here. Fine. And that's
works
what we've
done. Works out for everybody.
Right. And so she can sleep on the couch downstairs. And upstairs, I have a very big hallway for not a very big house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have like this big like fold-down futon with a big foam top on it. So when she comes home, she can sleep on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, because it's like an old Victorian, right?
It's an old Victorian. It's got a big hallway, complete waste of space.
I know. Houses like always had like, you know, a big like, my old house
foyer,
had like an old foyer. It's like,
random
how many umbrellas
upstairs
do you really need to put somewhere?
I think that was known as the space waster.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. I mean, it's 20 feet from the bathroom. It's right at the top of the stairs.
Sure, very handy, very convenient.
So Charlotte comes home, and she sleeps on the couch, and she's annoyed. She's got a bad back. Mm-hmm. When she comes home now, she doesn't have a place for her stuff.
Right.
Her stuff stays in the hall. She's sleeping in the hallway or the living room. And we had a lot going on this weekend. You know, we were getting the house ready. We were having it cleaned. We were all running around. And I have a messy house. Or just we have a lot of stuff in a small house. Let's put it that way.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Not necessarily messy. We got it all cleaned up. It looked fantastic. So we were feeling pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Charlotte leaves to go home, and she makes this declarative statement like, yeah, well, I'm coming home for Thanksgiving, and then I'm home for college break. I need some private space. I need a place for my stuff. And so my wife kind of said, well, you know, you can sleep downstairs on the couch, or we have the couch, the whole thing that we put upstairs for you. You can sleep. Yeah, well, it hurts my back, and I need my own space. When I come here, I can't get away from anybody. And I said,
that's how you feel.
You ought to live here.
You live in an apartment at school with three other young women.
Yeah.
And you share a bedroom with one of those
women.
And here you're coming home to our house. And so those demands sound a little unreasonable. Well, you know what I think I'm going to do when I come home? I'm going to go in the dining room, and I'm going to get one of those privacy screens.
Sure.
I'm going to get myself a twin bed, and I'm going to move the dining room table, and I'm going to put the twin bed in there, and then I'm going to have my space.
That seems outrageous.
She's losing her mind.
Yeah.
And she is. She's a great kid, and she doesn't give me a hard time about many things, but I was clearly annoyed with this.
I see.
So I've come up with this, and my wife doesn't think I should send it, but I'm going to send it to Charlotte today.
Oh boy.
And this is what it says. I'm going to say, listen, I understand. You know, you want some space to yourself, and she can't get it in our house. But, you know, because Pam and I are there, we got four adults. baby that's almost a year old. Yep. There's a lot going on in a small house.
It's a full house. It's just like that show.
Exactly.
Exactly. So I've come up. I put together this little ad that says, I'm going to send it to Charlotte and say, hey, Charlotte, does this sound good? Because if it does, we will rent this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's nice.
Right? Okay. And I looked. West Medford, one bedroom, small one bedroom.
Sure.
$1,700, $1,800, close to Tufts University.
Yep.
So the ad says, West Medford, small one bedroom in Victorian. Bright with lots of light, bathroom with tub and shower. Easy access to the hardwood staircase. Close to the MBTA bus and commuter rail. Free parking, washer, dryer, Wi-Fi, and cable. That sounds pretty good, right?
It sounds really good.
That sounds great.
Well, what it is, it's really the upstairs hallway.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
On 105.7 WROR.
Sounds right to me.
Sounds good.
I hope she takes it.
Ben from Maine is coming up next. Effie has an accident. Ephus has to call 119. Hilarity ensues.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, seekers of frivolity, let's get right to your Men from Maine episode. Here we go, Swine.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, a frantic Ephus calls 119, and we hear...
Hello, 119, what's your emergency?
Oh, my God, a hummingbird just flew down my wife Effie's throat. What should I do?
Well, someone'll be right over as soon as we can. In the meantime, what you want to do is dangle a slice of bread in front of your wife's face... To draw that bird out.
Oh, okay.
About 10 minutes later, the EMTs arrive and they see Ephus dangling a fresh trout over Effie's face, and we hear...
Say, what in the good Lord's name are you doing dangling that fresh trout in front of your wife's face? You're supposed to be dangling a slice of bread to try to draw out that hummingbird.
Well, I know that, but I gotta get the cat out first.
Oh, God.
For another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
So tell me, was that really a friend request from you on Facebook?
No. Yes. Maybe. I was so confused this weekend.
Very confused.
You know, it's my dream to stay off social media, but it's not happening. Can't so this it. Weekend, a bunch of people would like post on their Facebook page, if you get a friend request from me, it's not me. I've been hacked. So this kept popping up on people's profile, and I'm like, well, that's really interesting. And then all of a sudden, I started to get messages, personal messages, that sort of said, like, heads up, almost every account is being cloned. They don't need your password to do this. They want your friends to add them to their Facebook account. Your friends will think it's you and accept your request. From that point on, they can write what they want under your name. And it's like, I have no plans to open a new account. Please do not accept a second friend request from me. Please forward to all of your contacts. So every 2 minutes, you'd get one of these messages. And it's to the point where you're like, I don't even know what's going on. Well, I want to let you know, everybody, it is a hoax. It's a hoax. You know, maybe one person had this weekend had somebody try to access their account. But basically, you're all set. Don't worry about
it. Did you find that it made you think differently about the people who are your friends? Because
yes. I'm like, wait a minute, you're too good for this. Don't be Nana.
They fell in two categories on my Facebook.
Yes.
It was like, you know, the friends of mine that like were posting jokes about it, and I'm like, you're still my people.
Okay. Yes.
And then everyone else was like, my mom.
About 6 weeks ago, I had somebody hack into my Facebook account and start another Hank Morse page with my picture. They use my pictures.
Get out.
I was having anxiety over the weekend.
Well, and that was like a legitimate thing that happened a few months ago.
Yeah.
This is completely unrelated. It's just a weird message that people are... blindly forwarding.
So you're all set. Calm down and stop sending me messages.
Okay. Does everybody feel better now? Yeah. You feel better?
I feel much better.
Okay, good. There you go.
We're seeing some we ain't never seen before, kids.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Okay, everybody, we got your dirty laundry coming up, and LBF went to see the movie over the weekend.
A Star is Born.
Star is Born, yeah.
Oh, not Venom?
Not Venom.
You didn't go see
it's
Venom?
Serious.
For God's sake. Okay, review of A Star is
Born.
Yeah,
review of A Star is Born. And also, what you won't believe what Tina Turner's husband gave her.
Amazing. Amazing story what
yeah,
he gave her.
It's a, is okay. it a good thing or a bad thing?
Okay.
We'll tell you.
But they say it'll clear up.
Jeez, you know what I forgot?
What?
I shouldn't have sent that money to my friend who had their wallet stolen in London over the weekend.
You're probably right, man.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, we've got my review of A Star is Born, what Tina Turner's husband gave her medically, and also a divorce proceedings. But this is brought to you by Eagle Bank. Okay, first up, you guys, Friday after work, I left this place and I went straight to Showcase Cinemas to see A Star is Born. I didn't even stop to get Raisinettes. That's how...
Wow. You were very excited.
Right? Very I was excited. Very excited. Now, I haven't seen the full... I never saw the Judy Garland version of A Star is Born. I saw snippets of the Barbara Streisand Christmas.
That was on network TV over the weekend.
It was. Yep. And this Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, it is so good. It's... I was so surprised at how I really... loved every part of it. It gets a little slow in the second half, and I will admit that. But Lady Gaga, you never think of her as Lady Gaga, you know, with the meat dress or even when she just really pares down everything. Bradley Cooper, I mean, you have to remember that Bradley Cooper was like in The Hangover.
Yeah.
You know? And now he's directing, co-writing, and starring in this, and what he did to become this character, Jackson Maine. I mean, he lowered his voice so he sounds like Sam Elliott, who plays his older brother in the movie. He has this affect that's really kind of like this rock star. He learned how to play the guitar. He learned how to sing. Do you want to hear him play a little guitar?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
This is the opening scene. Right? That's
Wait
not fake.
He learned how to play the guitar for this, and that's him playing?
Yeah, and he learned how to sing, too. Watch this. I mean, listen to this. Watch this.
Whatever.
All right, listen. Into your paradise on a musical ride. I'm in
love with your music, baby. Get a little Eddie Vedder vibe to him.
Yeah, he hung out with Eddie Vedder. And that's what he sort of to get.
So that's good.
And Lady Gaga.
Research.
Yeah, he spent like a year and a half doing this. Clint Eastwood was supposed to do the Star is Born remake, but he didn't do it. He wanted to have Beyonce star in it. And he gave it to Bradley Cooper because he directed Bradley Cooper in American Sniper. And he's like, why don't you take this project? So Bradley Cooper ran with it. Now, what's so great, too, about it, I mean, Lady Gaga's a revelation. Brad Cooper is so awesome. It's a great story. It's very simple.
Brad, you guys that close now?
You that? Yeah, she's really tight.
You guys really close?
Bradley Cooper. And it's really, it's just kind of like an old Hollywood story. And it's a great 2 hours. You've got to go see it.
Dice Clay's in it, right?
Yes, and you can't even recognize him. You know what the other thing,
wait,
too?
Wait, Andrew Dice Clay?
Andrew Dice Clay plays Lady Gaga's dad. And the other thing that's so interesting about it, too, is that if you remember, Bradley Cooper started off his career playing in Alias. He was in, like, the first season of Alias.
God.
He was killed off. It was depressing for him. He thought his career was over. Look at that. But a couple of the people in the movie were from the Alias show. There was, like, the guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was it was kind of a neat little,
And by the way, for now, don't be throwing no shade on Hangover.
I know, but, you know, it's that like a totally different thing.
True. Yeah.
This guy's a real actor now. I mean, it's just really, you've got to go see it. It's great. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention is talk about Love Story. This is love. This is love. Tina Turner got a kidney from her husband. I didn't even know she was sick. So she got a kidney transplant in April of 2017, and her husband, Erwin Bach, was the donor. The couple married in 2013 after 27 years together. But then Tina Turner fell ill shortly after the wedding. She suffered a stroke and then battled intestinal cancer. The homeopathic course of treatment she chose eventually led to kidney failure. And then she's 78, he's 62, and he gave her his kidney. Now that's love.
That's
because
really
I can't
cool.
even get Dave to like share his sandwich with me.
Good point.
More Lauren and Wally now on 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Can you feel it at this very moment? Sean Crosby, a carpenter from Woburn, Massachusetts, is experiencing a faster pulse rate, elevated blood pressure, a tightness in his chest. Is he having a heart attack? No, it's just the pressure of win a grand in 60 seconds.
Goodness.
Good morning, Sean. How you doing?
You all right?
I'm doing well.
Okay, good to know you're not having a heart attack, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, good. So, the deal is LBF is going to ask you 10 questions in 60 seconds. You give us the all the answers you can that are correct. If you have to skip something, say pass. You'll come back to it if you have time left. You get all 10 right, we give you $1,000 from Century Bank. Do you feel prepared to play?
I am.
He is. You were prepared with the questions.
Barely.
Barely. You got a good shot in this one, Sean. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
What's 5 plus 5?
10.
In which year did Columbus discover the New World?
1492.
What's Seinfeld's first name?
Jerry.
Who were the Red Sox playing in the ALDS?
New York Yankees.
What candy slogan is Taste the Rainbow?
Skittles.
What does ZIP stand for in zip code?
Pass.
What's The Rock's real name?
Dwayne Johnson.
Who sings the 80s hit Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Pass.
Whose artwork self-destructed at an auction this past Friday?
Banksy.
What is the world's tallest currently active geyser?
Pass.
What does ZIP in, stand for in zip code?
I don't know. Pass.
Okay, who sings the 80s hit Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Blondie.
What is the world's tallest currently active geyser? Oh, you did really well. You passed on 3.
That was good.
You got the one wrong, that one pass wrong, but wow, 7. I'm right. Impressed. You had a good run.
Thanks.
All right. The ZIP and ZIP code stands for Zone Improvement Plan. Bonnie Tyler sang Total Eclipse of the Heart, but I like Blondie. That was a good guess. And the world's tallest currently active geyser is the Steamboat Geyser.
Fine job.
And Yellowstone.
Fine job. And you came through without having a heart attack.
Yeah, you did well. You should be proud of your current standing.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Okay, for you, we have a fine consolation prize, a $100 Stop and Shop gift card.
Oh, see?
And this month, Savory Magazine gets back to our roots with fall flavors, traditions, recipes with hearty favorites like old-fashioned pot roast, weeknight chicken and dumplings, and baked streusel apples. Maybe, oh boy. Pick up your copy at Stop and Shop right now.
What kind of apples?
Streusel.
Oh, of course.
So congratulations. Enjoy the prize. Thank you very much for being a member of the nation.
Well done, sir.
Well, I think it's going to be a long, long time.
Okay. We're going to talk about that art prank. But
prank.
I also want to mention that at the end of this report, I'm giving away tickets to something. So stay tuned.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Really?
Listen, Banksy. It's this guy that it's an anonymous artist from England. And he's a prankster, that guy. He's a tricky one. So people love his paintings, and they'll pay a lot of money, top dollar, for it. So this painting at Sotheby's was up for auction of his, and it went to bid, and it actually fetched about $1.4 million. And as the gavel hit the table, the painting shredded. There was a shredder inside the frame, and somebody...
Hit the remote control.
Shredded. So half the painting looks like fringe, and half the painting still in the frame. Banksy did this. He put on his Instagram that he had put this shredder in this picture on purpose to see if one day it went up for auction, this would happen. And so it was crazy. I mean, everybody just their faces. The Instagram video is pretty interesting because everyone's faces just drop and they're like, "What's happening?" But now it's okay because the painting will probably be worth more because it's now part of this iconic prank.
I know the prank was actually kind of part of the art.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat looking now, like with half of it shredded on the bottom.
It is part of the art, too.
You know.
So that's it's really. I mean, but.
It's strange.
It's so strange. what I like about it is we're talking about art, and it's like, you know, that's like, you know, most of the time it's elusive, and you're like, why do people pay this kind of money for
it?
No.
I can't believe they found it in a garage.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff.
That's never happened to me with my Goodwill painting.
I know.
No, they're hideous.
Who is this
you
guy?
You ought to run some of those Goodwill paintings through the paper shredder. You
nobody's
can do okay.
ever seen him. He's like Snuffleupagus. I mean, you know, I know what okay, a reference. Now, boy, I'm smart. You can tell I went to art school.
Do you think that he was actually in the room?
Well, that's an interesting question, because they have video of a guy videotaping it and recording it. And he had on these sunglasses that can take pictures, I guess.
Oh.
And so, and he looks to be about 44 from the back, you know, a little gray. I don't know. And that's how old Banksy allegedly is. I don't know. Big mystery.
Okay.
But the art world's on fire. It's crazy. All right, tickets.
If you want to see it, go to WROR.com.
Okay. Oh. Well, you have tickets to give away, okay?
I do. So. Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, here's what you do.
I have a pair of passes to see my favorite new movie, A Star is Born, starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, in theaters right now. Let's see. We'll have the 10th caller at 617-931-1057.
Gotcha. Okay. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, there is a huge baseball game at Yankee Stadium tonight. The Red Sox need to steal one in New York now. So, the question is, if Bill Lee were a psychologist and a pitching coach, what would he tell David Price? Okay?
Okay.
I'm going to ask. We're very fortunate to have Mr. Bill Lee, the spaceman, joining us at 8:40 this morning right here at WROR. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, Bill the Spaceman Lee is standing by. Well, this is an extremely important conversation we're going to have with Bill this morning, because we thought the Red Sox had the David Price situation all figured out. So we'll have him pitch in Boston instead of having pitch in New York, and that'll take the pressure off him. He'll do this great. But he lasts less than two innings, so still can't do anything in postseason play. So we think, okay, Pedro, what's wrong? Pedro says, it's in your head. So what he maybe needs is a sports psychologist. So we think, bingo, we got the answer. Bill the Spaceman Lee. Great pitching, so he can be a pitching coach and a qualified psychologist at the same time. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you. That song has the longest note in history.
It does. Oh, yeah. It does.
Longer than David Price's appearance.
That's
right. Yeah, right?
Okay. So, Bill. Boy. I think you are qualified to help him out here. I mean,
yes.
You're a psychologist, you're a great pitcher, you know baseball, so what do you think the key is?
Well, I think he should go to Aubuchon's and buy a shovel.
Really?
Yeah.
And when he pawn the dirt behind the mound, dig it deeper, because we're going to bury you there. I'm telling you, he's got more ticks than a deer in Lyme, Connecticut. That mouth guard thing he spits out back and forth. I mean, he looks like he's in a test car, and he's about to get roughed up, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, he gagged on a changeup. The guy hit it in the net. Then he gags on a fastball. He does the same thing. He's a gagger. You know, I got a grandson like that, and my grandson, he couldn't hold a lead if it had it, and he goes, Grandpa, I'm a failure, and I'm going, no, you're not. Don't get down on yourself. Don't get down on yourself. That's my job. You're taking away my job. So I told him, I mean, he's got to run long distance. He's got to learn how to turn the ball over. I said this earlier, bring in the sinker baller. Look at Tanaka. Look what he did. I mean, he's got nothing, but he's got nothing in really good spots. And I had nothing in really good spots. Eckersley said, you know, he says, Bill, I got cheese. You got salad. And I said, salad? He says, yeah. He says, but you can paint. You can paint, you can hit the corners. I said, like Rembrandt? He goes, who's Rembrandt? He goes, Sherwin Williams. So I said, you got to learn to paint. And we had a kid, you bring in the guys. If you've been facing dead red all season, you know, Reggie Jackson, when I looked in the stands, I saw Reggie Jackson with his granddaughter or whatever it was at Fenway Park. Well, the first thing I wanted to do was hurl, but the second thing I said is he brought his daughter there into the bowel of the beast that says Yankees suck, You can't chant that. You can't do the wave. You can't have mascots. You got to play the game correctly, and you got to think out there. And we're not thinking. Cora didn't hit for the catcher the other day. That upset me when we were down 3-1. You got three catchers. You know what I mean? When you got three catchers, you must have none. Gosh darn, pitch hit. You know, do something. Try something different. And the big thing is, when you face Tanaka, you have to hit him the other way. And we didn't did that. We kept pulling the ball in the shift. I was just, watch that game, and after we really blew it, when he hit that ball all the way to frickin' MIT, yeah. Then I turned it off.
Yep.
Yeah, I just got really upset, and I'm really upset with baseball right now for some reason. But I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to play my last games. I'm retiring. My house, I think, sold yesterday. There's three people bidding on it. I'm pushing for the little couple from Hyderabad, India, to get it, you know. Oh. I want a small couple in the house because I know they won't tread heavily on it.
but hey, Bill,
I'm about had it. I still think we are a gutsy team. We got to go to New York and show how tough we are, and we got to battle back. I mean, I don't mind getting down early, but be the team that came back all season long, and then I'll be proud of them.
Hey, Bill, if you were Alex Cora, see, he's throwing Nathan Eovaldi instead of Rick Porcello because Porcello went 2/3 of an inning on Friday. Wouldn't you come back with Porcello?
You got to play two games down there. Throw Porcello the next game. I mean, you know, you got Eovaldi. He dominated in New York. If he comes out and throws like Sale, like he did the first time I ever saw him, you only get one first opinion. And my first opinion of him and my second opinion of him was spectacular. He had guts. He came after you. He threw the ball. He moved the ball around. And that's what you got to do. You got to get ahead of these guys early with fastballs in and then pitch them away after you've gotten their attention. And
well, there you go.
That's it.
Okay, Billy. Thank you so much for your wonderful professional opinion on this whole thing.
Do you think we can win?
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay, good.
We should win. Okay. We shouldn't be playing the Yankees right now. You know, we should have been playing Cleveland, the worst team. We had the best record. You know, it's MLB doesn't think, but what the hell, you know. It's a great game. It's too bad it's tampered with by stupid executives.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll know this time next week. So have a good
one. I'll be probably either in Hyderabad, India, or I'll be...
One or the other. Okay.
I'll be in Walshinen, British Columbia.
Oh, careful.
Whoa, scared me for a minute, Bill. Okay. Have a good one.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.